Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Joseph Schachter, founder and editor of the Schachter Energy Report, also writes the Eye on Energy letter, which is free and covers more of the macro fundamental aspects data-wise for the energy, mostly oil, well, energy broadly. Now, Joseph, look, there's been, again, a continued nice move higher in oil. Right now, oil is above $90 a barrel. It was just yesterday, February 16th, that oil came back to that $90 a barrel level and then moved back higher. So this upward trend for quite strong upward trend, actually, since early December when oil bottomed at $62, almost a parabolic move for oil to move this quickly for an underlying commodity. But you know what? There is one thing that I first want to get your insights on, and that deals with these war fears, the impacts that those are having on the underlying oil price. Give us your insights, Joseph. How impactful has this potential war between Russia and Ukraine been for the upward move in oil prices?
Yeah, it's a big uncertainty. Every time you have political uncertainty and potential disruption of supply uncertainty, we've seen the price of oil go up. If you remember when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, the price of oil was in the teens. It went up to 40 during the invasion. And once it became clear that the world was not going to let that stand, the price of oil went back to 17. So it was a very quick up and down, parabolic up and then parabolic or balloon bust down. And we've seen, parabolic moves in so many areas in the market. We've seen it in the MEM stocks. We've seen it, in the FANG and related. Just look on the downside, the other side of the coin, Roblox, Viacom, Facebook, Shopify in recent days, Zoom, Microsoft, NVIDIA. So many stocks that were loved, that were the parabolic ups, are now rolling over. I think there's a parabolic up going on in energy prices for oil. I don't see it as much for natural gas. Natural gas is more weather-related and continent-related, even though we're sending a lot of LNG from the U.S. Gulf Coast to Europe, especially now to make sure that they're covered for winter. But I think that the oil stocks are based on assumptions where analysts are running around saying, hey, plug in 100, plug in 120. There's a shortage of oil. We're going to see, stocks double from here. They're great buys. And that was the same rhetoric I heard in Q2 of 08, and same situation, tight money, tight supplies. There was no more spare capacity in OPEC. Everyone was running flat out. And then surprise, surprise, the financial crisis came. Well, to me, we're setting up for another financial crisis. U.S. economic data, Canadian economic data has not been very strong. The same thing in Europe. The disposable income of consumers has come down because of inflation, food costs, rental costs, housing costs, interest costs on your home. So disposable income is coming down, and it is very likely that we could see sluggish conditions at best, recessionary conditions probably in Q2, Q3. Q1, people are saying, could be between 0.5% to 2% real GDP in the States, and then thereafter even lower, and there's no more stimulus. And then the big thing is, the Federal Reserve was your friend, and an old rule of thumb that I had when I got started in the business is don't fight the Fed. In 2020 and 2021, the Fed was giving you money, and they were buying up $120 billion a month, putting liquidity into the system, and they were reinvesting all the proceeds of maturities. Now that in March, that stopped. So you're removing $1.44 trillion, or 6% of the U.S. GDP, which was stimulus, is now going to be withdrawing. On top of that, they're talking in June, July, and maybe even faster from some of the Federal Reserve people who've been talking in the last few weeks, saying we should stop our buying of the maturities and tighten up even more because this inflation is getting worse. You saw the CPI number was way out of line. The PPI was even worse. And so if the Fed listens at the vote in early March and does that, then you could be talking about taking out $2 trillion instead of putting in $1.44. That swing of $3.5 billion is 14-15% of GDP. So from being positive 6 to minus 14. That is why I think we see another 2008, 2009, and a major financial repricing of assets. Because remember, that monetary stimulus went into assets. It went into real estate, went into stocks, it went into NFTs, it went into Bitcoin. All of that liquidity is now coming out and is being reversed. And a lot of the money that's going to be in the system is going to be needed to buy food and gas and and pay your housing costs. That people won't have the money for the speculative assets. And that to me means, I think the Dow, which was up at the high, at 37,000, potentially has 24, 25,000 written all over it by Q3 of this year.
Yeah, Joseph, it really is a lot for investors to process right now because there is growth slowing in GDP for Q1, and some people are worried that there could be a policy mistake by the Fed, where if they start hiking too aggressively into a slowing economy, they could cause a recession. And many people would point to oil prices and energy prices being so high as another precursor to a recession. Often high energy prices pressure everybody, businesses and individuals. And you laid out there very well that individual consumers' spending is probably going to start ratcheting down. Their savings is down. They're on to credit cards now. So do you think that the macro environment and that potential of a market event will swamp the fundamentals of oil? Because we also see articles like there is backwardation and it is one of the tightest oil markets ever, and that there is OPEC capacity issues. So do you think just the macro factors and the potential risk of a crash will swamp all the fundamentals?
Yes, in simple terms, yes. We saw that in 08, in Q2 08, the peak, and then the decline. We already, if you remember, you had banks in Iceland and Ireland got in trouble before the financial crash started in seriousness. After remember Bear Stearns was forcibly taken over by J.P. Morgan rather than going bankrupt. Then you had the Lehman event where it went bankrupt and the Fed didn't support them. Right now we've got in China massive number of real estate companies going under. We're seeing companies in the States where the stocks are getting hammered 60, 70, 80%, which means they're not going to be able to have access to capital because the stocks have been murdered. The SPACs, probably 70% of them, according to CNBC, are below their issue price. So we're already starting to see the same kind of financial problems. Housing is another one. We're seeing housing is getting to the point where people, the affordability has gone worse than in 08. Interest rates being up, the price of housing being are up. So people who don't have mortgages have a wealth effect on the value of the houses. But if other people are using it as an ability to borrow against, to buy other real estate, buy stocks, and there's stories of major brokerage firms lending, not like normally you can have one to one, if you're buying quality stocks, and if you have a $10 million portfolio, you're seeing them lending people instead of $5 million of the 10, so there's 50% coverage, they're lending them 8 or 9 or 10 out of it. Well, if they're buying real estate that blows up, or NFTs or Bitcoin or whatever, then all of a sudden the margin calls could get very ugly, and margin debt is at record high. So to me, this is worse than 08-09. I don't believe we're going to see 29 to 32, where of course it was a depression. I think the systems and the check and balances in the system are better. But remember, the biggest borrowers out there are the governments now. They need it to fund their deficits. They need it for renewing of their maturities. They cannot afford a 100 or 200 basis point increase, which means they have to take a recession. It'll cool off the wage demands. It'll cool off the housing market. And so when the Fed looks at the box it's in, where it was late in responding, now they're starting to do it by, again, we know that the buying program is over in March. They've said that clearly. And now you've got many Federal Reserve governors saying they want to speed up the lack of investing on the maturity cycle, which is about $100 billion a month, starting not in June or July, but earlier. So again, the more liquidity you take out of the system, the more the monetary heroin you take out of the system, the quicker you're going to have a difficult period of time in the stock market. Last week, we had 2 days of minus 500 points in the Dow. Today, Thursday, we're down 407 right now. My guess is we could have another 500-point down day. And if there is an invasion of Ukraine, and again, it'll start probably with air drones and planes attacking to destroy the air force in Ukraine before the land battle starts, then we're going to see, you know, bigger down days than we're seeing now, and potentially a very quick decline in the market. And, you know, wars are not good for the stock market. Uncertainty of any type is not good for the market. And I'm in the camp that, you know, Russia has false flags. They're trying to move more of the Russian army towards north of Kiev, because they have, 70 or 80,000 troops on the Belarus border, so that they can tie them down while they send the massive invasion fleet from the Baltic to take the Baltic ports and have a land access from Crimea to the eastern part of Ukraine, and then grab eastern Ukraine, which is Russian-speaking and has a high proportion of Russian citizens. And again, the false flag today may be of the attack on that school. The Donbas insurgents are saying it was done by Ukraine. Ukraine is showing pictures that it was done by Donbas insurgents sponsored by Russia. So there's a lot of false information, but you also know, and the factual data is out, that the attacks have already started on the cyber warfare against command and control and against Ukrainian government's computer systems in just in the last few days. And then there was major attacks on some of the biggest banks in Ukraine, where they shut down the ATMs, they shut down the bank accounts, they moved money out. They said that you don't have money if you had an $8,000 balance, or the Ukrainian version. You got none now. And so, the early signs of imminent problems are building, and unless there is some concessions by NATO to not have offensive weaponry so close to the Russian border, and also that maybe Ukraine would not have offensive weapons and would not be allowed to join NATO for a period of time, I think everybody says, oh, Putin's is going to be cornered by NATO, and that he has no more cards to play. I think he's got way more cards to play. For example, if you take into account the amount of money that's coming in with these uncertainties and higher prices, they're shipping about 5.5 million barrels a day of oil to markets, as well as 2.3 or 2.4 million barrels of product. So you take 7.5 million, I think $30 of it is war premium. Let's be conservative and say 20. That brings in $4.5 billion U.S. a month. And then you've got to also take into account that they're big producers of aluminum and nickel, palladium and wheat, that they're probably bringing in $6, $7 billion more a month than they were before. And the cost of having all those troops on the border is negligible relative to that, maybe 10, 20 cents on the dollar at the most. So they can keep this pressure on, that uncertainty on, which will keep high prices up. High prices mean at some point a slower economy and demand destruction. And then the other wild card, of course, is Iran. If Iran does do a deal with the UN in the next week or so, they have 200 million barrels of oil in storage around the world ready to sell. Plus, they can increase production by 1.5 million to 2 million barrels without a lot of field upgrading. And then with field upgrading and getting access to a North American and worldwide technology, they could increase it even more. So I think that between a recession, some movement on oil production from Iran, and the slower economy, where historically, if you remember in 2020, demand was 101 million, it went down to 82, so you lost 19 million barrels of demand because of the pandemic. But historically, when you have recessions, you lose between 2 and 4 million barrels a day. So right now we're very tight. Inventories are going down. If we have worldwide recession, you knock off 2 to 4 million. And you look at the U.S. economy, China economy, Europe's economy, that seems more and more likely. So if you lose 2 to 4 million of demand, then all of a sudden you bring on something new, where like Iran brings on new production, and all of a sudden you've got a glut, an inventory build, and the price comes down. So my view is that the price of oil sometime in Q3 is going to be sub 60 and potentially lower than that. And these energy stocks potentially have a 2-for-1 sale ahead of them. And again, people say that's shocking. That's a big number. Well, I say to you, go look at Roblox, Viacom, Facebook, Zoom, and, you know, Shopify, and look at all those other stocks, and they had more than 2-for-1 sales when the bloom came off the rose.
All right, Joseph, real quick, before I get you out of here, I just want a quick comment on the general health of the oil stocks, because no doubt these stocks are making money right now. Wells are profitable at these stages. Real quick, though, how stable do you think these stocks will be when this correction, big correction, comes?
Well, the companies will report decent numbers for the fourth quarter because the commodity prices were so much higher and companies were focused on costs. So they're going to report some very, very good numbers. But that's the same thing we saw in 2008. They reported spectacular numbers, but the market didn't care. And when you look at what happened from even in 2020, you know, where the price of oil didn't, you know, came down, the stocks got murdered, 80, 90%. So if we go from 94, 96 at the high, you know, a week ago to $60, you tell me what's going to happen to the price of the stocks. A lot of them still have debt. A lot of them are leveraged to the price of oil and natural gas. And the stocks have gone up so much because of the hype, because of the effervescent price move in oil. And I think that where we are today is a bubble territory. It's parabolic in terms of moves. Just pull out any of the stocks that are popular, Cenovus, CNQ, Tourmaline, Whitecap. You just pull out them all and look where they were in 2020. Look how they reacted in 2008 or 2009. When the macro event changes from a very bullish macro scenario to a less bullish scenario and then to a bad scenario, the stocks imploded. And so what we're saying to people is be defensive, you know, maybe buy some hedging techniques that you can use on ETFs or use some options, or more importantly, go to cash. Cash is not trash. I think cash is going to be something you want to have in your general portfolio, because if the price of the Dow, for example, goes from 37,000 to 24,000, and if the TXE goes down 50% as well, and the energy index goes down 50%, sitting in cash will not be something that will make you not sleep at night. You'll be very happy that you prepared yourself for the debacle has started in the MEM stocks, moved to the FANGs, and now is moving to the general market.
All right, Joseph, we're going to wrap it up here, and it sounds like we're just waiting for this big correction, a recession to come because of the fact that monetary policy is being tightened and economic data is slowing broadly. But again, this oil price, boy, oh boy, has just kept moving higher and the stocks have gone parabolic. So sounds like you're issuing more of a cautious warning, as you had before, for your subscribers and building up that cash position. Real quick, Joseph, I know that you have a webinar coming up on Thursday. Please take us through what that webinar is going to be about. I will post a link so everyone can sign up and tune into that webinar.
Our webinar is on February 24th. It starts at 7 p.m. Mountain Time and goes for 90 minutes. We will spend half the time talking about the market and why I'm concerned about the economy, and just showing examples of what happened to the MEM stocks, the FANG stocks, what's going on in the economy, the data on the weakness of the economy, the data related to what the Fed's doing, the Fed friendly versus the Fed unfriendly. And then we go in the second half of after a Q&A on the overview. We then go into all the companies that have reported results as of Friday's close of this Friday. And that includes names like Enbridge, Keyera, Precision Drilling, and TC Energy. And if any other ones report today or later today or tomorrow, we'll include that in the package as well. And so for people who want to come to it, you know, they should look at the subscription on our webpage. And the best option is to take the quarterly and then join the webinar, and then they can see this full product over time. And then when we get to the bottom, we in March of 2020, March 13th, said table pounding buy, and many of the stocks went up 5, 6, 7 times from those lows. We think we're going to probably get another fabulous buy sometime during Q3. So people should be joining the webinar, getting our product, and watching the whole debacle in the general market, but then they will have hopefully the confidence to buy when the next buy signal comes. If you remember in 2008, 2009, as the market was going down, people were even worried if they should sell their bank stocks, like they were panicking in February and March. We want to have our subscribers comfortable that they stayed out of the debacle, they have cash during the debacle, and when the buy signal comes, they have the fortitude to say, yeah, I'm buying, these are bargains.
All right, Joseph, again, thank you for your time. I will be posting a link to your website so everyone can sign up for your letters. Joseph, thank you again. Have a great rest of your week.
My pleasure as always. Thank you.